Oh, this sounds about right. If you've listened to our program on Wednesday nights with Kirk Bangstad and Kristen Lyerly, Kirk is normally the person picking the music. We asked Luke just to surprise us, and it's no surprise whatsoever that he comes up with Friends in Low Places, because look what the cat dragged in.
Wait, what's my theme song? That was for Kirk, but what's for me?
I thought it was for all of us. We're all friends in low places here, Kristen. This is a group project.
Pat, you know, it takes me hours to come up with the right music. I can't do it now that we're moved to 10 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I'd have to get up at like 4 and I'm still hungover by then.
I know. This is going to be new ground for all of us. You two have never been so sedate, and we're really going to try to shake you out of this with this new morning gig. If you just joined us, Kirk Bangstad of Minocqua Brewing Company, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, OBGYN, former legislative candidate from the Green Bay area, and I worked a Wednesday night show for quite a while called the Up North Podcast. But now with Up North News actually getting into the radio business, I asked if these two goofballs would join me for an hour on Wednesday mornings instead. And so here we are trying to talk about, headlines around Wisconsin, politics and other stories, especially the impact that they have with folks up north. Kirk is not merely brewing beer. He has a super PAC that has, caused some ripples as he goes up against the Old Boys Network of Minocqua. You can read all about it in a brand new story that we just posted at upnorthnewswi.com. Kristen Lyerly has had a lot to say since the repeal of abortion rights by the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's very real impact that's happening right now in Wisconsin. So we have had more than a little bit of material to work with, you guys, and it's nice to have you here in the mornings.
So, Pat, I just want to ask, this is your third day in. I'm really excited about this, and I wrote about it in my Sunday missive.
Your sermon, your Sunday sermon.
My Sunday sermon.
Reverend Kirk.
I can't, this is the ultimate culmination in my mind of what I was hoping would happen after the near election coup of, January 6, 2020, when I got way more involved in politics, even though, after even I ran, I'm more involved now than when I ran for assembly. This is the culmination of what I think should be happening in northern Wisconsin. There's Bull Falls Radio now in Wausau. Apparently, you guys are doing something at Stevens Point and Rapids pretty soon.
Yep,
or the radio show is owned, but you guys aren't really broadcasting from there right now, right?
No. That was my condition of doing the show. I get to do it from Lake Wissota, which in my mind is as up north as it gets. There are plenty of great places up north, but this is definitely one of them. And as somebody who was a reporter pretty much everywhere in Wisconsin, and who was a candidate and a legislator all over the state, we can definitely talk about, all kinds of local issues. We had Wausau Mayor Katie Rosenberg as our first guest. We've talked about with a Marathon County guest, another mining proposal that's going on up there. And as you guys know, we've had guests on representing other communities all around the Northwoods. We talked about, the conflict of snowmobile and ATV trails, Kirk, a little closer to your Minocqua stomping grounds that I'm sure we'll get into as well.
Well, Pat, local issues don't get that much attention. We hear about what's happening on a federal level. We hear about state stuff, but the stuff that really affects us, the stuff that's in our backyards, we don't hear about it. We don't understand, and we're not talking about it. So this is such a beautiful opportunity for us to talk about the things that really truly affect us on a very granular level.
And like Pat won't tell this to people while he's directing the show, and that's why we get to talk a little bit about Pat. But in so many places in the North Woods, we don't have strong newspapers. We don't have strong TV stations because the budgets for these things are kind of going away, and people aren't spending as much on advertising and print media and on news media, and so they're hiring really young reporters also, and maybe not even hiring reporters at all, and just like rebroadcasting kind of like Milwaukee kind of state news in like Stevens Point or Wausau. So Pat is such a gem because he's been doing this for so long, and he actually is a real pro, and having him be able to talk about local stuff happening in Wausau, Stevens Point, Eau Claire, you know, Minocqua, you know, Ashland.
Green Bay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens.
It's happening soon.
When you marry a farm girl from, you know, near Manitowoc, you learn a lot about it there. And I have been doing it for so long. This is the cane that I was threatening to start using because of my advanced age until they drained what felt like a 20-gallon fish tank of fluid out of my knee yesterday.
Oh,
so yeah, there's a little experience.
There's something so important about that experience, though, not to call you old, Pat, but that historical context to be able to say, hey, I remember when this happened. And this is the same kind of thing that we saw in this place, to share those experiences and to learn from them and be able to apply those lessons learned is something that only someone like you can do for us here in Wisconsin.
With a little more gray hair. Oh, God,
so much gray. So much. There's actually upcoming a reunion at TV 13 in Eau Claire, where I'd anchored the news for many years. There's a reunion coming up. And I wonder what, much like a high school reunion, what people are going to look at me like, oh, what happened to you since you were anchoring, you know? But it
you're
is
5 pounds lighter, though, without all that fluid in your knee.
Well, and without all that TV makeup, right? Kristen Lyerly, Kirk Bankstetter here for the hour, and we will have more discussions and hopefully a special guest as well coming up in a bit. As we like to say on Wednesday nights, you're up north.
Wisconsin Conversation, real information. Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Half your life you struggle.
And Kirk Bankstead and Kristen Lyerly joining us for the hour, as they will most Wednesdays during the 10 o'clock hour. Tomorrow's guests in the 8 o'clock hour, Senator Tammy Baldwin will be with us live. 9 o'clock, we'll have candidate for Congress Mark Newman. At 10 o'clock, Kia Bakil, the national correspondent for Courier Newsroom, the parent company of Up North News, to help us look at this week's big headlines. We have been talking about Wisconsin headlines by and large. We did have somebody from our sister outlet in Michigan, the Gander, talk about the Michigan primary results. And we are going to have Jillian Bettino join us either in this segment or after the next one to talk about her race for state treasurer. But in talking about, you know, what's happening in Wisconsin with our primary next week, I think we'll just ask straight up, Kirk, Kristen, how you think the Republican gubernatorial primary is going to go? Who's going to come out on top of this one?
I have to say, I'm seeing a lot of Ramson signs.
It's Tim time.
I don't know. I don't get it. And they're great signs that say Patriots vote for Ramson. So I don't know. I mean, obviously, statistically, his odds are pretty low. Michaels is kind of all over the place with the recent, I don't know if I'm going to endorse Trump, and then the turnaround of, yes, I'm definitely going to endorse Trump. There's a lot of interesting stuff happening, Kirk.
So, I mean, I really don't care. I think that the Republican Party's in such disarray in Wisconsin right now. You know, half the party wants Voss to get out because he's not trying to upend the 2020 election results like Trump wants him to. And the other half is like, who are you crazy people? So I think they're in disarray. And I think I've heard the same thing in Michigan right next to us. You know, I'm not really so worried about it. I think Evers is poised to win again. I'm still kind of just like shaking my head on what happened with the U.S. Senate race all the Democrats dropping out of the primary and Mandela being the guy. I mean, it still surprised me. I've got a surprise coming in a week or so about this myself with the brewing company, but I'm still surprised at what happened. What do you think happened, Pat?
Well, I think internal polling is it, you know, knowing knowing as former candidates, all three of us are, polling costs a lot of money, a lot of money. And if it's a good poll, and I'm sure that the campaigns did their own internal polling, and, you know, in the Marquette poll, it looked rather tight, but I'm sure multiple polls showed that Mandela Barnes had a lead that, you know, could not be overcome. And so they either had to go negative or, you know, back out. I rather thought they'd just all lay low, you know, and then endorse him, you know, the day after the primary, but that's not how it worked out. So we, at least we know who will be, you know, running against Ron Johnson in the fall. And now we'll wait to see who run against Stone Evers.
That's right. A lot of money too. I mean, think about all the dollars that you spend in that run up to the election, even for a primary. So I wonder if they were looking at all the dollars that they were potentially going to be spending internally against each other and decided, hey, let's try to shore this up and save some of these dollars to fight Ron Johnson.
Yeah, because those dollars are being put into all manner of races, not just governor and Senate, but the state attorney general's race. Secretary of State is going to be a thing. We're going to talk about that later on. But right now, we're going to turn our attention to the state treasurer's race, where we have Julian Bettino, Wausau physician.
Hey, welcome.
Hello.
Nice to have you here. Thanks for joining us and for having the guts to join Kirk and Kristen along with it at the same time.
Oh, we're really hardcore. We throw hardballs in this show when we talk to Democrats running for office, Pat. Obviously, we throw lots of hardballs.
I didn't think that was why she'd be afraid of us. I thought it was for other reasons altogether. Jillian, introduce yourself to the listeners, you know, and why you decided to run the way that you did.
Yeah, so I'm Jillian Bettino. I am calling you from a car in Stevens Point. We're on our way out to visit West Allis and go to a union meeting tonight. So I'm a practicing radiologist, and I decided to get in to this race for a bunch of, I think, reasons that everybody will understand. First of all, being a mom, I've got six kids. I'm tired of worrying about climate solutions and guns in schools and healthcare access and education and all the things that are stressful as a parent. And I think most importantly to our kids and their futures. And then the other thing is that I started noticing over the last 25 years of being in medicine that my patients were presenting with more and more advanced disease states, and that was often explained by a lack of access to, you know, economic security and healthcare. And I decided that it was time to stop reading mammograms and put my skill set to a different use.
Luke, you know the hardball question I'm about to throw at her. Based on our previous discussion, can you really see anything different in the X-ray of a knee? If it's, I told the story yesterday of how it's probably a meniscus thing, but you can't get the MRI until you get the X-ray, and you look at the X-ray and it's like, yeah, that's a knee. That's a whole different occupational hazard, I'm sure, that you have to put up with.
Oh my God, Pat is like. Pat just showed his age. Now all he can, it's like, instead of just talking about, like, you know, how the crops are growing out in the field, like, that's what farmers do. Older guys just talk about their aching knees all
exactly.
day long.
And
we have a guest here, Pat, that's running for treasurer. We got to talk about politics, not your failing limbs.
Look, when you have access to, you know, medical insight, you tend to use it. Trust me. I married
you
one of those.
You rarely ask me questions, Pat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You never get asked questions being an OBGYN. Of course. So we have to take this training, this experience of working with people, working in the healthcare system, and translating it to serving in elected office. Kristen obviously had to do that, as have many other folks. Again, like you said, you could be reading, you know, all kinds of, you know, data, charts, images, and instead, state treasurer. What is it about the race that made you want to pursue it? And what kind of a difference can somebody make there?
So, you know, the state treasurer's office is hanging on a thread. I mean, we know that Wisconsin voted to preserve the office in 2018. And right now, I've been to a couple of national meetings and I can't find a smaller state treasurer's office. The budget now is for one person in that office. It's just the treasurer. Treasurer Godlewski was able to get a grant for a staff person, but you know, that makes it really difficult. You know, to me, one of the things that attracted me to the office, a lot of my time over the last 25 years has been doing volunteer work, and specifically in Guyana and Nicaragua over the last 10 years. And so, you know, taking a small amount of resources and growing a program out of those resources is something that I think is really fascinating, you know, in general, but really necessary in the treasurer's office. So I am attracted to the idea of creating a stronger office over the next 4 or hopefully 8 years that, you know, brings back some of those responsibilities so that we have a preserved constitutional office and the checks and balances and can actually do some really important work. And so, yeah, I wanna like, there's a program called the Achieve a Better Life Experience. It's Disability Pride Month. I myself am disabled. I have a moderate to severe hearing loss. And I'm also the guardian of my brother who has multiple disabilities. And this program is a 529 tax advantage program that allows us to put aside dollars for folks with disabilities, including veterans who are, you know, consistently left out of the conversation. So that they can have financial security without losing benefits. So that's something we can do through the office without having an enormous budget or even a big staff, because there's infrastructure in place to do that. And there are other similar programs. Go ahead.
So Dr. Patino, yeah, I mean, so the state treasurer's office is obviously not the most impactful, you know, political office in Wisconsin. And it's been that made that way by the Republican Party, who have lessened its power. But you know, Sarah Godley showed that this office, you can do things in this office to make Wisconsin better, but it's also a place where you can learn more about the state of Wisconsin and become a better political, you know, a more qualified political candidate for higher office. So to me, you know, this office is somewhat of a stepping stone to just get involved in state politics and understand kind of the inner workings of things. And so, and you're a superstar candidate. I mean, there's not that many doctors with this much experience as a professional, you know, a science professional that are trying to step in, other than the other woman we have on our panel right now, who's an OBGYN, but there's not that many who want to step into this field because it's made for people with really thick skin, and there's a lot of negativity, a lot of fighting. So just the fact that you're running for this office and you're entering the fray is great, because I think we're going to hear from you a lot in the future, you know, whether it be a treasurer or whether it be a higher state office.
Well, and I don't even want to let you answer that question, because before you do, I want to say that there is something extraordinary about this woman. She's not just a mom, she has 6 kids. She's not just a volunteer. She goes to other countries to help them establish healthcare that they otherwise wouldn't have and saves lives. She decides to make a difference in politics in Wisconsin, and she's going to be our next state treasurer. I mean, Jill, you are truly an extraordinary woman. Everything Kirk said and more.
Well, that's awesome to hear. You know, I think one thing that's really important is to always focus on what you're doing today. And like, I remember straight out of med school, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. So I thought, well, I'll do a year of internal medicine so I can figure it out. And I kept being told, you know, are you staying in the program? You seem to be working awfully hard at internal medicine if you're not staying in the program. And I wasn't staying in the program. I think we have to focus on doing the best at what we can do while we're doing it where we are. And so that's what I'm going to do with the treasurer's office. And so hopefully we can grow it into something really big and strong. And if I move on from there, that's great. If not, we're left with a really powerful office that, you know, can fight for Wisconsin security. So financial security.
It's the one thing that, you know, they can't take away once you're elected is, you know, whatever you want to make of a bully pulpit, because assuming Republicans maintain control of the legislature and maybe even win the governor's office, you could win as state treasurer, but really have no additional resources other than your voice.
Yep, that's true. And, you know, right now, reproductive justice is just so important. And, you know, the choice to have a kid or not have a kid, when you have a kid, how many you have, that's an enormous economic decision. So You'll be hearing from me and I know Kristen on that one.
Yeah, no Absolutely. Doubt. Again, there's voices that can be used there. Dr. Jillian Bettino is our guest for talking about her campaign for state treasurer. There are other candidates in the race as well that we will talk about in our next segment and come back and have more words of wisdom from Kristen Lyerly and Kirk Bangsted. Next week's guests on the program include Sean Fedeplace from Main Street Alliance. Wisconsin finally has an alternative to Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, and he's going to visit with us next Monday about that. Next week, we also will talk to Angela Lang from BLOC about organizing Black communities and other communities of color around the state. And State Representative Evan Goyke will be joining us as well to talk about some of the legislative races coming up between now and November. More with Jillian Bettino after this break. This is Up North.
Live from Lake Wissota, this is Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
You can find us on social media, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for Up North News WI. Don't forget the WI to reach the show by email, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. And by phone, the line here is 715-388-7155. Kirk.
So, you know, this toll... show now on Bull Falls in Wausau, and it's playing on Facebook everywhere. But the Up North podcast is what we were doing, the three of us before. You know, the whole point of that, it was to try to get statewide news to folks in rural Wisconsin from a progressive lens. And I'm so happy that this is happening. And I wanted to, you know, just first mention that, you know, our candidate running for state treasurer is from Wausau. And to me, that's huge. I mean, it's not like everybody from Wausau automatically is the best person to run for office at a statewide level. But to me, it's huge because Dr. Bettino understands what it's like to not be in Madison and to not be in Milwaukee and to be a Democrat, you know, kind of in the midst of a very kind of red rural area. And I think that brings a different kind of set of, you know, ways to approach Wisconsin. So I just wanted to ask, Doctor, can you kind of talk about your experience in Wausau and what being in a more rural area brings to the race?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it is a very different life experience to grow up in a metropolitan area like Madison, Milwaukee, even Green Bay, Appleton brings a very different kind of life experience. And for me, there are a couple of issues. I mean, first of all, access to healthcare is more challenging rurally. And in particular, if we look at just reproductive care, since it's on the table and such a big part of the conversation right now, there's no abortion access in the more rural part of the state. If I have a patient who requires referral for that type of care, then she has to be able to travel out of our part of the state. Educational opportunities are more difficult. There's more travel for students. And during the pandemic, you know, the issue of broadband is tremendously challenging because kids needed that, you know, for school. And that was even more of a challenge up in the rural part of the state. So those are all kind of practical, pragmatic kind of daily challenges. But, you know, another thing is really kind of a difference in values and how people talk about what's important and kind of where their common ground is. And I think we really need to focus on the fact that there is truly common ground between the values of folks all across the state. And then a lot of times those come down to very basic things like family values, you know, making sure that kids are safe in schools, making sure that people can retire with them, you know, with financial security and dignity, making sure that our veterans are taken care of, making sure we can put gas in the tank to get where we need to go and pay for our groceries. And so those are, you know, those are common values that I would say are often kind of bipartisan values and can really help us get independence and people who we've not provided great rural representation to and perhaps lost to the dark side, you know, to kind of get them back at the table and bring those democratic principles and those kind of common ground issues back to the table. So I think it's really important and helpful to have somebody who looks out the back window and sees a ginseng farm as opposed to a Starbucks and a, you know, a mall and a whatever, what have you, a lot of highways. It just is a different feel and a, you know, geographic diversity, like any diversity, is important to have at the table.
I couldn't agree more with you about shared values. And I've really found that living in Green Bay and coming from the eastern part of the state, that when you start a conversation with someone who you know maybe holds different political views, if you start with what's important to you, you find that you can have these conversations and you can leave politics entirely out of it. So I know you have some really great ideas about what you, as the chief financial officer for the state, will do. But I guess what I'd love to hear is, how are you going to get out to these parts of the state where people feel that they are not heard, they're not able to share their values? And then how are you going to be able to reflect the successes and the efforts that you are going to be working on their behalf, on all of our behalves?
So I have a history in doing this. You know, putting together a program in Guyana required a lot of traveling. And, you know, one thing you have to do is be like a yes person. You absolutely, when you're invited somewhere, the answer has to be yes. You always have to be available and present and responsive. If you ever text or email me, you'll find me to be very responsive. So, you know, looking at the dairy farmers unions, looking at school board meetings, town councils, things like those, drive out there, sit tight, listen, ask questions, let people see you present. And I think listening is really, really important to find a way in and a bridge to connect with people. And then we also need to do a better job at kind of advertising those relationship building efforts and what it brings to the table. So part of that is going to be utilizing the treasurer's office, the website, and communications, and really kind of a marketing strategy for the treasurer's office so that people know it exists. Because right now people don't, they're like, oh, we have a treasurer, what's that? Mm-hmm. So we've got to be louder and bigger, and I'm good at that. I'm good at big and loud.
Well, and you're right. I mean, if you don't get that message out to people, they don't know about the good things that are happening. What they know is what they're getting fed from their media sources. And often that's conservative talk radio or Tucker Carlson, and it's not accurate. So for you to have that voice, to be able to amplify your successes, and not just your successes, but the successes from the executive branch, I think will be absolutely critical in our ability to serve each other in this state.
We are talking with Dr. Jillian Bettino, a candidate for state treasurer, one of three Democrats on the ballot in next Tuesday's primary to succeed Sarah Godlewski in that role. The other candidates are Fitchburg Mayor Aaron Richardson, who's a technology specialist in the Oregon School District, and Angelito Tenorio, an alder in West Allis. So, Dr. Bettino, being in a Democratic primary like this, I don't know if you've had much for forums or other comparisons, but you know, there will be people going there, perhaps fewer now that there isn't as competitive a primary for U.S. Senate with Mandela Barnes clearing the field, but Democrats are still going to show up next Tuesday anyway. And so when they see three Democrats listed on the ballot, what is it you want them to know in terms of, you know, the way that you stand out from this particular field?
Well, I mean, I think this is the year of the woman. I think that, having more moms in office, people who walk into their kitchen and have three teenage boys discussing how they're going to handle an active shooter at Wausau West, should it ever happen. You know, I hope to, you know, that it never, ever, ever, something like that never comes home to us. But, those sorts of issues are front and center. Reproductive care is front and center. Getting STEM people into government is such an important part of the solutions that we need to, evidence-based policy making along with evidence-based, decision making is part of what has been missing, and that's what we can bring to the table. So I definitely want to emphasize the fact that I am an experienced, collaborative mom scientist and a warrior, you know, for democratic principles, and I think we have a lot to bring to this table. And we've also had a really nice poll that demonstrates that this resonates strongly with what Wisconsin wants to see right now.
Great. So just wanted to let folks know that are listening both on Facebook and Wolf Falls Radio that the Monongah Brewing Company Super PAC has endorsed Dr. Bettino this, I'm worried that, you know, this primary is not going to be well, it's not going to be well attended, because we've got the Democrats just kind of left the Senate race. And so people might not feel like it's worth voting, but we've got a candidate here who's a superstar and who's poised to potentially do wonderful things for the state of Wisconsin. So I just want to encourage everybody listening that she's from central northern Wisconsin. There's not a lot of, there's not as many Democrats up here as there are in Milwaukee and Madison. But I think it's imperative to have representation from Wausau, from Minocqua, from Ashland, progressives this way. So I'm just encouraging everybody to go vote for this woman for treasurer. And I want to ask, how are you hoping to get the vote out for your candidacy, given that given what happened with the Senate race?
Well, so I mean, one thing that I've learned over the last year and a half or so is that the best candidate doesn't always win. If you have a wonderful, you know, message and a powerful story, and you're a great fighter, that's not necessarily enough. You do have to have great voter communication, and because of that, we have invested a lot of our resources into TV and radio in Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and statewide cable. So we are, I think, a $250,000 buy to make sure that we're getting the message out. I still drive everywhere. I've put over, I think, 57,000 miles on the car now. So that's, if you are going to try to run for a statewide position from Wausau, be prepared to drive 2.5 hours to anywhere. And every time. It's true. So, you know, we're in the car all the time, most days, and that's okay. I mean, that's part of what we need to do, show up to all those Democratic Party meetings, all those labor meetings, every chance we get, anywhere we're invited, but then also to invest and kind of, you know, put our money where our mouth is, and that we believe this is a strong race and that we're bringing something really valid to the, and important to the table, and get those messaging out with TV and radio and, you know, social media and emails and text and all of that as well.
It's definitely harder for us, I think, from the outreaches. We can't just attend an event on a Tuesday night. It's a, like you said, it's a 2.5 hour drive everywhere we go. So it takes a lot of extra effort, but it's so worth it and so necessary, because those of us who live in the North need our voices to be expressed. So I have a soft question for you, and I love Kirk. I know Kirk loves the soft questions, because on the inside, he's all soft and squishy, even though on the outside, he's got a really crusty exterior. So here's my soft question. So I'm a mom too. And when you said that about, you know, your three sons in the kitchen talking about an active shooter conversation, we've had that at my house, exactly that. I'm wondering what your kids think. Here's their mom running for this incredibly important position in leadership, doing something really extraordinary. What do your kids think about what's going on here and what you're doing?
So everybody's really wonderful. You know, so I have three girls and then three boys. The girls are very, you know, powerful, opinionated feminist women. One a family medicine resident, the other two gender, sexuality, and women's studies graduate and undergraduate. And they're incredibly supportive. One of them does a lot of my my social media stuff. The boys are a little quieter and introverted teenage boys, but incredibly supportive. I've had them driving me all over the place, handing out literature, making phone calls, and even, you know, helping at home with things that, you know, typically I, you know, mom takes care of. Not always, and a little more hesitant there, but they're definitely proud. They wear t-shirts with my name on them. They have stickers on their car. So I'm impressed with the boys. They're very happy with it. And of course, my husband is just awesome, 100% behind me. So
it's such a
thing. I shouldn't say of course. Yeah, definitely.
But it has to be. It has to be in a situation like this. And how great to have a built-in campaign team like you do.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Dr. Jillian Bettino, candidate for state treasurer in the Democratic primary next Tuesday, hoping to succeed Sarah Godlewski in that office that Sarah and others Wisconsin voters helped protect a couple of years back, and hopefully protecting it from any future power grabs that we might see down in Madison from the legislature. Dr. Patino, thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, it was our pleasure as well. Thanks again. We will take a break in just a moment here. And when we come back, Kristen and Kirk will join us for one more segment where we'll talk about a few other things that are happening up north, a couple of the races that are taking place up here, a surprise in yesterday's primary elections in other states. And we may revisit, you know, what is the most Midwestern thing? A new survey shows that it is... walleye, but goose poop might actually be it.
I can talk about goose poop for hours.
No, don't.
From Lake Wissota, once again, here's Pat Greatlow.
Joined by Kristen Lyerly and Kirk Bankstead for our final segment together on this Wednesday. And then Kirk is running away for a couple of weeks. But Kristen, hopefully you can join me on Wednesdays. And then we'll get the whole gang back together closer to Labor Day.
Love being with you, Pat. Anytime.
This is almost sounding like our little segue while we were done a commercial break, which got a little X-rated.
I'm just glad you have finally woken you guys up, because again, I'm normally dealing with you on Wednesday nights, and you guys came in here like the first cup of coffee you needed to be dunked in rather than drinking it.
Something
that would get you going here. So now that we've had a chance to warm up, to visit with people and talk a bit, Kristen, I have to ask you, as an OBGYN, as somebody involved in politics, were you as surprised as pretty much everybody else was by the overwhelming vote by Kansas voters last night to protect abortion rights?
Yeah, I sure was. Leading up to it, the buzz amongst my national OBGYN colleagues has been, this is a big deal. We don't know which way this is going to go. So to see numbers like that in a state like Kansas, which has a constitutional protection for abortion, and they do have a Democratic governor. So I think there are some really positive things happening in individual states. I know I'm real plugged in with the upper Midwest, including the Dakotas and Nebraska, Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, here in Wisconsin, of course. And there's so much variability about what's happening with regards to women's health care. Lots of different nuances. So in South Dakota, some of the legislators are asking about how they can legislate in exceptions for rape and incest. Here in Wisconsin, that's not the case. Tim Michaels actually came out and said no abortions for any reason, and that's kind of the standard Wisconsin Republican candidate for governor response. So it's different in every state, but to see something like this come out of Kansas, I think was incredibly heartening for those of us who care for women.
So I have a question for both you guys. Do you, given the results of the Kansas, the Kansas results, do you think that Republicans just aren't polling? Or they're just way off of the actual in the pulse of the even Republican voters in Wisconsin when it comes to abortion and choice? I feel like they are. They're not even allowing like cases to get past basic care emergencies to get past. I think they're way off. But why are they persistent in being as hardcore as possible?
Because it has worked for them in the past, and it really does. There is a direct line leading to this authoritarian tendency to throw out democracy, to overrule elections, to get rid of the state elections board. What they did first was through gerrymandering, where they were able to take control of legislatures. By allowing unlimited money to come into races, they took control of state Supreme Courts. They now have unlimited corporate money to pull into governor's races and Senate races. It served them well to this point where even though things are against the mainstream, they've been able to ram certain things through. This may finally be a bridge too far when you see what the voters have said in Kansas, because voters everywhere in this country, voters are the majority supports abortion rights. And so the party doesn't care. Again, this was a party that, you know, put forward Donald Trump of all people, and it worked. you know, by winning the Electoral College, not the popular vote. So, yeah, again, public opinion, you know, be damned is what I think is behind it. We've got a couple of other races that I want to get to. Kirk, up in your neck of the woods, we know that Tom Tiffany actually is facing a Republican challenger in a Republican primary on Tuesday, somebody you know, and is you know, putting himself out there as an alternative for Republican voters.
Yeah. Ty Cornelius, he's a friend of mine, and I helped him figure out how to run for this primary. We were hoping that we would get a different outcome with the our lawsuit against Ron Johnson, Tom Tiffany, and Scott Fitzgerald, and that if we would, you know, got some legs on that lawsuit and they would have been taken off of the ballot, I wanted to have a Republican running for office, that because it is a very gerrymandered district up in the 7th district. And so I don't think a Democrat can necessarily win that race even, you know, at all. So I wanted to have a Republican who I thought was moderate and I thought was a well-meaning person on the ballot in as a Republican. And Ty agreed that he wanted somebody to do that too. So he's running. I don't, you know, it's probably not likely. There's not been a lot of money. I've not been able to, you know, to donate as much. We can't really, the super PAC can't really deal directly with candidacies. So I can't really help with the money thing. So it's probably not looking great for Ty, but at least he's stuck his neck out there and he's trying to do the right thing.
You put yourself out there. That's what all this is. And in any of us who have run, you ran in a heavily Republican district for assembly in 2020 as well. And again, without that, without somebody at least willing to provide an alternative, people will stay home. And that doesn't serve any of us well in the Midwest. And so, speaking of the Midwest, I wanted to wrap up with what we mentioned earlier is whether walleye is the most Midwestern thing ever. It is, based on descriptions on Airbnbs in Midwestern states. So apparently, much like the bucolic scene behind Kirk Bankstead of Lake Minocqua, people like to hear that there's walleye fishing nearby where you live. Does that make sense, that walleye is the most Midwestern thing that exists?
I sure hope it's not, because not because I don't like walleye, but like climate change is causing our walleye populations to take a serious nosedive, and we're stocking lakes right now, but we've got so few resources here in Wisconsin that the DNR is having to make decisions about which lakes to stock now. So if people are looking at walleye as a marker for the health of tourism and like a symbol of what Wisconsin is, I think that we are in store for a lot of disappointment.
All I got to say is, I think Boulder Junction is going to be really mad that the entire Midwest will take away their claim to fame. They're like called the walleye capital of the world, or at least they're self-described the walleye capital of the world. And they're like 10 minutes north of me. So I'm not sure if they're going to be too happy if they get usurped by the entire Midwest, Pat.
And speaking of Midwestern things, I was looking through some of the newspapers, and up in Ashland, they have people very upset about all the goose poop that they have to deal with. And I think that's endemic to the Midwest. We go upriver to the Mallard here, and you know, at certain times of year, there's no place to be without having to deal with what those kind little geese have left behind, Kirk.
They're so mean.
And they're mean too.
My next door neighbor had a What's it called? The little one person, like a jet ski. He hated goose poop on his lawn so much that he would drive this jet ski right into a flock of geese just to scare the crap out of them, so they'd leave his front yard alone.
Okay, well, maybe extra legal advice notwithstanding, that's the latest from Kirk Bankstead entirely. We'll talk to you both again soon. Thanks for joining me in the morning here, guys.
Thanks, Pat. Great to be here. Pat.
Yeah, Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest in the 8 o'clock hour tomorrow. Have a great day. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and you are up north.